Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield in my home in Alon Shvut, and we are moving on to page Kafchet Amud Bet, 28b, in our exploration of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah. We are starting about a line and a half from the top of the Amud, from the top of the page. We are in the middle of the discussion about Rava's opinion that mitzvot ein srichot kavana, that to fulfill a commandment, one does not need to perform the required action, like blowing a shofar, with the specific intent to fulfill the commandment. Alma kasava Rava mitzvot ein srichot kavana. We can see that Rava holds that to fulfill the mitzvah, one does not have to have special intention to fulfill the commandment. And now we're going to bring some challenges to this view. Eitve, we're going to bring a Tanitic source that seems to dispute that. Hayako Rebbe Torah v'higia zman hamikra im kivein libo yatsa v'im lav lo yatsa. So the Brita tells us, if one was reading in the Torah, and it was actually the time for Kriyat Shema, the recitation of Shema, and he happened to be reading a parsha that was required for Shema, and it says if he had intentionality, he has fulfilled it. If not, he has not. So they make the diuk, they make the understanding. My lav kivein libo, let's say. Was this source not intending to tell us that his intentionality had to fulfill Kriyat Shema? And if he did not have that intention, he would not fulfill the commandment. Lo likrot. That attempted kushia, that challenge is rejected. It says, no, it means he had intention to read. Not necessarily to read it for the purpose of Shema, of fulfilling Shema, but he had conscious intent to be reading the text. Likrot hakakare, the Gemara says. What do you mean, intention to read? He was reading. Reading is an action. It doesn't require any special intention. Answer, b'kore lahagia. It is a case where he was simply intending to correct or look for mistakes in the text. He was a scribe who was checking for mistakes. And Rashi says he wasn't even reading, he was muttering. I'll give you another explanation by the Ritva in just a moment after we get through the next two proofs. Tashma, another attempt to dispute Rava. Haya over achorei v'taknesset, o she'a beito samuch v'taknesset, v'shema kol shofar o kol megillah. Im kivein libo yatsa, v'im lav lo yatsa. Someone who happened to be walking by the back of the Beit Knesset, or his house was adjacent to the Beit Knesset, and he heard the sound of the shofar or the sound of the Megillah being read, if he had intentionality, he has fulfilled his requirement. If not, he has not. Now comes the challenge. My lav im kivein libo latsait. Is it not meaning to tell us if he had intention to fulfill the commandment, proving that to fulfill commandments, one has to have the intention to do so? Lo lishmoa. No, it simply meant he had the intention of hearing. Lishmoa, v'hashama. What do you mean intention to hear? He was listening. Listening is a physical act. It doesn't require any special attention. It just happens. Answer, savur chamor ba'almahu. No, it means it's possible he could have thought he was only hearing a donkey brain, which means that there are really three levels to intentionality. One level is the intention to perform the mitzvah. I listen to the shofar with the intention of fulfilling the commandment. That's the highest level. There's a middle level where I have intention, meaning a conscious awareness that I am performing a particular action. I am aware that I am reading. I am aware that I am hearing a shofar, not for the purpose of mitzvah, but rather my action is not being done without any awareness at all. Because the third level is called mitasek. I'm preoccupied. I am doing something without even being aware that I'm doing it. I'm listening to noises. I don't even know if it's a shofar or a donkey. I'm looking for mistakes in the text, and I'm not even aware that I'm reading and pronouncing the words and reciting them as I go. So what the Gemara here is saying is Rava agrees that that middle level of Kavanah is still required. The person has to be aware that they are performing an action. What he disagrees with, he says, you do not need to have the intention of fulfilling a mitzvah in order for that action to count as fulfilling your obligation. Now the Gemara attempts to bring another proof against Rava. Eitve, nitkaven shomea, velo nitkaven mashmia. Mashmia, Vontakvein Shomea, Lo Yatsa. In a situation where there's the shofar blower and the shofar listener, if the shofar listener had intentionality, but the shofar blower did not, or the shofar blower, right, had the intentionality, and the listener did not, lo yetsa, you have not fulfilled the obligation, ad shid kaven shomea umashmia. Both of them need to have intentionality. Bishlama, the Gemara now goes on to make its diyuk. Bishlam nid kaven mashmia lo kaven shomea. I understand the case where the shofar blower had intentionality and the listener did not. Kesabur chamor ba'almahu. He just thought that there was a donkey brain. Elamid kaven shomea lo kaven mashmia hechem ishkachat lai. But rather, in a case where I say that the listener had intentionality, but the shofar blower didn't, what could that case be? Is it not betokei al-ashir? Must it not be a case where the person was blowing shofar, but not for the intention of mitzvah, but just to play music? In which case, seemingly to prove that unless the shofar blower and the shofar listener have the intention to fulfill a mitzvah, it doesn't count. Dilma dekame nabach nabuche. No, we say maybe not. Maybe the shofar blower, the lack of intentionality was, he was just making sounds, blowing air through a shofar, not even intending to make any tekiot or trot, and it just worked out that it happened that way. Again, that's the lowest level, where the person wasn't even intending to perform the action, and there too, Rava says, it does not count. Now Abaye brings a different type of challenge to Rava's opinion. Amar le Abaye. Abaye said to him, Ele ma'ata hayashen b'shmini b'sukkah yilkeh. Abaye says, if what you're saying is true, Rava, that one can fulfill a mitzvah without the intention to perform that mitzvah, then the same thing would be true of violating the prohibition of adding on to the commandments. The Torah says is a prohibition of bal tosif, of adding on to a commandment in such a way that it changes the nature of the commandment. So one who slept in a sukkah on day 8, where you're only supposed to, at least in the land of Israel and biblically, sleep in the sukkah for 7 days, right? The 8th day is Shmini Atzeret. If one indeed slept in the sukkah on the 8th day, not with any special intention, Yilkeh, he should get malkot, he should get lashes, because he violated Baal Tosif. Because if you can fulfill a mitzvah without intention to fulfill a mitzvah, you could also then violate Baal Tosif, adding on without intention as well. Amar lo, Rava answered him, Sha'ani omer mitzvot eno over alein ela bizmanan. No, I disagree, he says, because one can only violate Baal Tosif when it happens, where the behavior occurs in the time of obligation of that mitzvah. And since day 8 is no longer the time of obligation of sitting in a sukkah, I can't violate Baal Tosif by being in a sukkah on day 8. Mativ Rav Shemen Bar Abba. Now we have a challenge to Rava's opinion from Rav Shemen Bar Abba. Minayin la kohen she'oleh leduchan. We're talking about a kohen who goes and blesses the people. There's a mitzvah in the Torah for the kohanim to bless the people, birkat kohanim. Shelo yomar ho'il v'natna li Torah reshut levrechet Yisrael osif bracha achat mishali kagon Hashem Elokei Avotechem Yosef Aleichem. From where do we know that the Kohen can't say, wow, since the Torah gave me permission to bless the Jewish people, instead of only the three blessings mentioned in the Chumash and Bamidbar, I'm going to add another one on my own. I'll just throw in, for example, and may the God of your forefathers grant you increase. Talmud Lomar, Lo Tosifu Al Hadavar. The Torah teaches you cannot add anything, meaning this text is telling us that for a Kohen to add a fourth blessing to the three-line blessing of Birkat Kohanim would be a violation of Baal Tosif. And now comes our question on Rava. V'ha hacha kevan devarich le avra le zimne v'katani da'avar. And here in this case, since he already recited the first three, then the time of blessing has passed. Avra leizmane, uktane de'avar, and it says you can still violate Baal Tosif. So Rava, that seems to disprove your theory that once you're no longer in the time frame of mitzvah, you cannot violate Baal Tosif, because here the Kohen finished the first three, is out of the frame of mitzvah, the time frame of mitzvah, and still he violated Baal Tosif by adding his own blessing. Now comes the answer, the Terutz. Hachabamaya skinan, the delo seeing. No, this was a case where he hadn't finished. He inserted his extra blessing in the middle. The Ha Tanya, but did the Brighton not say seeing? The Brighton said he completed his blessing and then added on. Answer, siyem bracha achat. No, that just meant he finished one blessing. He added it between blessing one and two. The Ha Tanya, we have another text of the Brighton that says, siyem kol birchotav. He finished all of his blessings. And he still violated Baal Tosef. Answer, shani hacha kevan diu mitramilei tzibura achrina hadar mevarech kula yoma zimnehu. So Rava here offers a fascinating answer where he says, no, because even though he finished that set of three, in this case, because if he was called to another minyan or another group of people appeared, he would bless them as well. Therefore, the entire day is considered the zman of his mitzvah. So since he added a fourth blessing during that time frame, that whole day is considered the time of his mitzvah, and therefore he can violate Baal Tosef. And now the Gemara is on to say, Umana Timra, from where do we say this? From where did Rava get the idea that you can only violate Baal Tosef, adding on to the commandments, when you are still in the zman of the chiyuv, when you are still in the time frame of the obligation? And now we quote a Mishnah from Zvachim, Ditzna. The Mishnah is dealing with the case of sprinkling or pouring the blood on the horns of the altar. All korbanot require blood to be poured on the altar, and there are different types. Some only require one splashing or throwing on one corner. Others require that they be splashed, for example, on all four corners. And the Mishnah is dealing with the case, what happens with two different types of sacrificial blood get mixed together? And one type, for example, whether it's a bechor, a firstborn that was offered, or maser, a tithed animal that was offered, which only requires one, what's called a matana, one offering of blood, got mixed in with, for example, an ola offering, which requires four. What do? The blood's all been mixed in. One requires, some of the blood in there requires to be sprinkled or splashed four times, the other only one. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Hanitanin b'matanacha shintarvu b'nitanin matanacha. Right? If a type of blood that only requires one offering, one splashing, got mixed with blood that requires only one splashing, yinatnu matanacha. Then fine, splash, take all the blood together and splash it once. Matan arba, yinatnu matan arba. And if blood that requires four got mixed with other blood that requires four, no problem. Pour all four. No problem there. The problem is in the next case. What happens? Matan arbav matan achat. What happens if blood that requires four splashes got mixed in with the blood that only requires one? Rabbi Eliezer Omer yitnatnu b'matan arba. Rabbi Yeshua Omer yitnatnu matan achat. So Rabbi Eliezer says that mixture gets four splashes. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that mixture only gets one splash. Amarlo, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said to him, Hareyu aver al bal tigra. Rabbi Eliezer said to Yeshua, wait, by doing that, you are violating the prohibition of bal tigra. Do not remove, do not do less than the required commandments, right? Because the Torah says, lo tosif and lo tigra. You shouldn't add and you shouldn't reduce. Well, here you're reducing. Amarlo, Rabbi Yeshua, Hareyu aver al bal tosif. And Rabbi Yeshua said, yeah, but your way, you're violating Baal Tosef. You're adding on. So Rabbi Ezra is saying the one that requires four is only getting one. That's a violation of Baal Tigra, of diminishing. Rabbi Yeshua said to him, yes, but who holds it that you'd pour, give them all four? Then the one that only required one got four. That would be a violation of Baal Tosef, of adding on. Amarlo Rabbi Eliezer, lo nemar Baal Tosef ela kashu ba'atzmo. Rabbi Eliezer said, Baal Tosef is only a problem when it's on its own. And since if you only have blood there that required one splash and you did four, that would be Baal Tosef. But since it's all mixed together and every time the person did the action, some of the blood they are sprinkling does require four or splashes, does require four splashes, therefore that would not be a violation of Baal Tosef. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Lo Nemar Baltigra Elak Shuba Atzor. Rabbi Yeshua said the opposite. No, they only violate diminishing when it's on its own. But since it's mixed up altogether, therefore, you have not diminished because the blood that requires four was mixed with the blood that only requires one. The Od Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua had another proof against Rabbi Eliezer. Kishalona Tata Avarta Al Baltigra. The Lo Asita Mase Biyadcha. Kshenatata Avarta Al Baltosif Vaasita Maase Biyadcha. He said to him, there's another problem. When you follow my opinion and you don't do, so at worst you violated Baltigra, but you did it passively. If I follow your advice, Rabbi Eliezer, and do all four, then I have violated Baltosif. I violated adding on actively. Better to violate something through inaction than to actually violate something with action. End of Mishnah. And now the Gemara is coming back to the point of how this proves that one can only violate Baltosif when you're in the time of Chiyuv, as Rava said, during the time of obligation. Okay, back to our Gemara. V'ha-ha-ha, behold here, now, Kevan di'ayvle matana mi'bechor. Once he already splashed the first splashing, he's already fulfilled the obligation of the Bechor, of the firstborn offering. Avra le lizimne. So now, the time of the offering of the Bechor is over. He fulfilled it. So on the next three splashes, the time is over. The katani de avar mishum baltosif. And yet we still taught that you can violate baltosif. Lav mishum de amrina and kevan de ilu midrami le buchra achrini hader mazemine. Kula yoma zimne. Is it not because we say that since if another bechor was brought to the mikdash, the kohen would sprinkle that blood or splash that blood as well, indicating that the entire day is the time of mitzvah. So therefore, even though he fulfilled the blood offering for that one bechor, since other bechorot might come, the whole day is a time frame of the mitzvah of bechor, and therefore anything he does additionally with the blood of that bechor is in the time of chiyuv, and that's why you can be over baltosi. The Gemara questions that proof. Mimai, how do you know that's the reason? Dilma kasav Rabbi Yeshua mitzvah overa lan afilu shelo bismanan. Maybe that's not the reason. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua dafka holds against what Rava said. You can violate baltosif even when you're no longer in the time frame of chiyuv. Now the Gemara is going to prove how they know that's not the case. Anan hachi kamrinan. We say thus to show you how we know that's not the way to read that Mishnah. Rav Shemen Bar Abba, my time a shavik matniti numotiv mibraita. When Rav Shemen Bar Abba brought his question against Rava earlier to try to show that in fact you could be over baltosif even without intentionality to do so, even outside the frame of chiyuv, why did he leave the Mishnah that we just read, Umotiv Mibraita? Why did he bring his question from a Braita about Birkat Kohanim? Why didn't he just try to bring it from this Mishnah we just did? Motiv Mimatnitin. Let him ask this question from the Mishnah. Matnitin, my time a low motiv. Why didn't he ask a question from the Mishnah we just read? Kevan de ilu mitrami le buchra achrina bai mazemine. Kula yoma zimnehu. Because he knew that Mishnah, according to that Mishnah, that if another Bechor had come along, that the Kohen would have sprinkled it, teaching me that the entire day is in the Zman of Chiyuv. And that's why he chose to ask from the Breita, where he believed the Zman of Chiyuv was already over. Breita Nami, but the Breita also, Kevan Dimitrami Tziburach Grina Hadim Avarech Kuliyom Azimne, but the Breita had the same potential problem. If another Tzibur had come along, another group had come along, the Kohen would have blessed them as well, making the entire day the Zman of Mitzvah. Rav Shemen Bar Abba saw a distinction. Hatam, over there, Lo Sagi Delo Yahiv. Hacha Ibai Mevarech Ibai Lo Mevarech. In the case of the blood and a Bechor, it would not work if he did not do the offering. The Kohen has to sprinkle the blood. In this case, with the Kohen, if he wants to, he can make the blessing. If not, he doesn't have to make the blessing. which means, by the way, the Rishonim say that the Kohen is really only obligated once a day. If he chooses to do it more often, he can, but he doesn't have to show up to do it more often. What this is telling me is that according to Rav Shimon Bar Abba, his assumption was that the case of the Kohen was not a case where the entire day was a case of Chiyuv, and therefore he believed one could be over Baal Tosif even without Kavana, therefore disproving Rav's thesis that you can fulfill a mitzvah without Kavana. However, Rava believed that the reason you can fulfill a mitzvah without Kavanah, and the reason you are over Baal Tosif, even though you didn't have Kavanah, is because you are still in the time frame of Chiyuv. You are still in the context of obligation, and therefore you could violate Baal Tosif, as opposed to the eighth day of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, where you're no longer in the time frame of the mitzvah, and therefore, unless you have Kavanah, you cannot violate Baal Tosif. Rava Amar. Now we're going to get a summary statement from Rava, sort of pulling it all together. Latzeit lo bai Kavanah. In order to fulfill a mitzvah, I do not need special Kavanah. I just need that minimal awareness of doing an action. La'avor bai Kavanah. But to violate Baal Tosif, to violate adding on to the commandments, I need to have Kavanah. But the Gemara says, wait a minute. In the case of the bread splinking according to Rabbi Yeshua, you could violate Baal Tosif even without the intention to do so, because you weren't doing those extra three splashings to violate Baal Tosif. You were doing it to fulfill the obligation on the blood that was mixed in that bowl that requires four offerings. Ela Ama Rava. We're going to change Rava's statement a little bit. Latzeit lo bai kavana la'avor. Latzeit lo bai kavana. In order to fulfill the mitzvah, I don't require kavana. La'avor, to violate Baal Tosif, bizmano lo bai kavana. Shelo bizmano bai kavana. In order to violate Baal Tosif, if I'm in the time of Chiyuv, then I don't need intentionality either. I can also violate Baal Tosif. However, if I'm outside the time frame of obligation, then I would have to have kavana to violate Baal Tosif. So just to finish up, I know we went a little bit long today. You should know that there's a big machloket among the medieval commentators whether mitzvot require kavanah or not. The Rashba says they don't. It seems that the Rif and the Ran say that they do. I think the Shulchan Aruch basically passes mitzvot do require kavanah, but if one performed a mitzvah action without kavanah and they want to do it a second time, because of the machloket, we passing that they should do so without a bracha. We will pick it up next time at the very bottom of Kafchet Amud Bet. Thank you for joining.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning. And visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.